Amazing. Okay, everyone. So we're going to be doing L'Chadori tonight, and L'Chadori is really incredible. Let me just close the door. Okay. So L'Chadori is really amazing, and I want to owe credit where credit is due. Most of what we're going to be learning tonight comes from a sefer by Professor Reuven Kimmelman, who's a professor at Brandeis, wrote a book on L'Chadori. Thank you, Natan, for taking it out of the library on my behalf. And it's a great sefer. It's written in Hebrew. He has some articles in English about it. But essentially, L'Chadori, we'll do kind of a few things tonight. We're going to talk just about, like, a little bit about, like, who wrote it, overview, and then we're going to go through it. And really, you can't understand L'Chadori without understanding its mystical implications. And they're quite deep, which is why I printed out for you this nice Kabbalistic chart. And we're gonna, you're going to take some good notes on this because you will never, like literally, you will never look at L'Chadori the same way. And literally, you will never look at us as the Jewish people in the same way. Very exciting. It's also a high bar. So if I don't reach that bar by the end, then you're just going to be like, wow, that was so nice that you could have a shiur, but like, that's not what you said you were doing. Okay. So a little bit about just like the history. L'Chadori was written by Rosh Shlomo Alkabetz. Also, not surprisingly, living in Tzfat, the same time as the Arizal and the Rav Moshe Kodavero and the Rav Sakaro. And many others. He's originally from Salonika, Greece, and like many others kind of in the kind of Eastern Europe, Western Asia, like Ottoman Empire, comes down to Tzfat and lives the last couple of decades of his life in Tzfat. And he writes the L'Chadori somewhere toward the end of his life. He dies in 1584. He's born in 1504, dies in 1584. The Arizal, it's unlikely, it's like a little bit questionable whether he knew the L'Chadori because it may have been written after the Arizal died. So, regardless, the Arizal died, I believe I said it, I think it's 1570, I think. I think it was that. So he started Kabbalah. The Rosh Shlomo Alkabetz studied Kabbalah with Rav Yosef Karo. They were the Chavrusas in Kabbalah. And also they were very close with a Rav named Rav Yisrael Najara, who wrote Ka'echsof. Interestingly, you'll note, and we'll see this inside, the L'Chadori is written in what language? It's not a trick question.
Hebrew.
Many of the Piyutim during this time are not written in Hebrew. What are they written in? Aramaic. Ka Echsof is not, it has a lot of like Aramaic in there. And many other of the Piyutim during this time have a lot more, like it's Hebrew, but there's a lot of more Aramaic within it. And there's a lot of, the Arizal, we have some things that he wrote himself, by Shal Shittas, the song, right? Those are in Aramaic. Right, they're deeply Kabbalistic because the Zohar is written in Aramaic. So since the Zohar is written in Aramaic, that was like almost like a higher level of language in a sense. Obviously, Torah, Hashem gave it to Torah in Hebrew, but Aramaic was like the language of Kabbalah. Kasov like is Hebrew, but there's some Aramaic in there too. But L'Chadori is just straight up Hebrew, right? You can look at L'Chadori and you'll be able to see allusions to Psukim in Tanakh, right? A lot from Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, and so on and so forth. It's very much in Hebrew, so it's kind of in some ways also going back to like this Yehuda Halevi Spanish style, which were also primarily written in Hebrew. And apparently, it was supposed to be sung to the tune, L'Chadori, to the tune of one of Yehuda Halevi's songs. Many note that it was supposed to be written, Yehuda Halevi wrote a song called Shuvu Nafshi Liminu Chaychi, coming from a pasuk. And apparently, the song L'Chadori is supposed to be sung to that tune. I don't know what that tune was. I don't know if we know what that, I don't know, maybe some people do, but apparently that was the original tune. Now everyone just does whatever tune they want. But it was written in that sense. And for Shlomo Alkabetz, he understood that you don't understand the Torah just through Pshat. It has to be understood through Sod, Kabbalah, and Medrash. So you have to understand that when he takes Psukim and when he writes the Chadori, he is writing it not just, or not even just for Pshat level. You can only understand it if you also understand its deeper Sod, Kabbalah. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do tonight. The acrostic of the L'Chadori spells, Shlomo Halevi, of Shlomo Alkabetz Halevi, so Shlomo Halevi. And essentially, if you look, L'Chadori opens, obviously, with the opening refrain, which we traditionally recite after each paragraph. But again, I don't know if it was necessarily written that way. That's just kind of what we've done. But essentially, it's with Lechado Di, it's 10 stanzas. If you include Lechado Di, it's 10. Lechado Di, and then 9 after it. So essentially, it's 10 stanzas, the first being the refrain. And what you'll notice inside, thematically, is that, so we open with the Lan Lechado Di, we're going to talk about what that means. I'm going to skip that for just a moment. I just want to note, and if it's helpful for you, if you want to keep Lechado Di boxed off, that's like the, we're going to repeat that over and over again, let's say, Shamar V'Zachor will be, let's say, the first. So if you want to yourself label 1 through 9, you can start with Shamar V'Zachor and just label 1 through 9. That might be helpful in some of our learning. I could have done it myself, but I guess that would have been too easy. It was written with a deep connection to the Sfirot. So I'm going to make sure that by the time we end this year tonight, let me make sure you have a Sfirot chart, you're going to understand what we're talking about here, okay? Because you cannot understand Lechado Di without understanding the Sfirot and their significance, okay? All right. So if you look in Lechado Di, I'm just going to ask the question, give me a couple themes from Lechado Di. Greeting Shabbos, Shabbat, theme about Shabbos. Shabbos is the Kala, Shamar V'Zachor, Likrat Shabbat, another theme.
Redemption,
right? All these, I know, you can look inside. You know, like V'Nivnita Ir Atiyah, that's like an allusion to Jerusalem. Any other, like?
Rejoicing.
Nagila, Aritsu, like there's a lot of synonyms for joy. Uri, there's a lot of awakening. There's also an interesting pun there. You have like heat oriri, kiva, orech, uri, and then ori, you have the ayin for uri, and then aleph for ori, which is light. We'll talk about that. So there's like joy, there's light, there's Yerushalayim, there's Shabbos, okay? And so that's actually going to be very important themes, and we're going to talk about how those relate very importantly. Just as an overview, the first, second, and ninth, meaning first being Shamar V'Zachor, second being Likrat Shabbat, and the ninth, meaning the final one, are about Shabbos, specifically. Right? Shamar V'Zachor, Likrat Shabbat, and then the final one is about Shabbat. Right? Bo'i Kala. But if you actually look at numbers 3 through 8, it actually is not about Shabbat. Right? Starting with Mikdash Melech through Yamenu Smol, there's really no direct references to Shabbos. So clearly Shabbos is like bookending the Lechado Di, obviously including the first line, Lechado Di Krakavashina. But it's only the first Lechado Di, Shamor, and Likrat, followed by Bo'i Kala at the end. The middle section, right, what I would say 3 through 8, which is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, meaning 6 stanzas, is not about Shabbat specifically, but actually is about Yerushalayim. Right, Mikdash Melech, Sanctuary of the King. What's Mikdash Melech?
Yerushalayim,
the Beit HaMikdash. Right, obviously there's this notion within Judaism of like a Mikdash in this world and a Mikdash in the heavens. Right, the next one, like it's about kind of getting up for Geula, which again is an allusion to kind of maybe a return to the land of Israel. Hit Oriri, again, some awakening, and so on and so forth. And the 6 and 7, and you'll see it inside. So that's just something to keep in mind for a moment. We have Shabbos and Yerushalayim. It's important as we go through that the whole purpose of Kabbalat Shabbat writ large that we've discussed so far, right? The whole order of the Piyutim before, the Tehillim that we say before, even Yedid Nefesh, which again wasn't written necessarily for Kabbalat Shabbat, but becomes part of it. It's all about Yichud Hashem. It's all about unifying the name of God. And by doing this unification of the brokenness that exists in this world, we're able to bring about redemption. Right? We saw this last week and the week before. And so the main goal of Lechado Di is through these words, we are going to unify the name of God to redeem the world. And part of that's going to be related to Shabbos. Part of that's going to be to Yerushalayim and to the Jewish people. Yes. There is a concept that Mashiach doesn't come on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us that nor will the Mashiach, like there's a whole discussion about, Motei Shabbos, all these different things, but because we have to, or before Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos. Yes, there is this idea, but that doesn't mean that redemption won't happen, like, either on Shabbos, right? Because Mashiach, it's not Lav Dafka that Mashiach is like a one-stop shop, right? There could be a process, like the Rambam says. But even redemptive era is like Shabbos, in the sense of like this Me'ein Olam Haba notion. So if you think about it for a moment, and we talked about this last week, each of the Tehillim leading up to Kabbalat Shabbat, leading up to L'chad Odi, referenced a day of the week. Remember that? We talked about the first is Sunday, then Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Thursday, then, and then there's like a Friday is Mizmor LeDavid, and then we say L'chad Odi, and then we say Mizmor Tehillim HaShabbos, because L'chad Odi is almost this like bringing us from the weekday into Shabbos. And then we say Mizmor Tehillim HaShabbos. So within the text itself, we're going to have the days of the week represented. And I'll explain how this works. But to get there, first, I want us to just understand the opening line of the L'chad Odi. Okay? I was giving you a little taste, and we're going to open the opening line, and we'll come back. The opening line, because it's written by Rosh Shlomo Alkavetz, a major Kabbalist, you have to understand everything within the context of Kabbalah, within the context of Gematria, within the context of Yichud Hashem, unification of God's name. Okay? So let's start with the first, hopefully, kind of insightful and incredibly interesting part. L'chad Odi, likrat kala, p'nei Shabbat nekabbalah. Come, my beloved. It's very similar. We saw in Yedid Nefesh, right? All written in the same time period. L'chad Odi, come, my beloved. Likrat kala, to come, greet the bride. So who, like, we are essentially saying we would like to greet the bride, which represents often Shabbat, right? Shabbos Malkata, the queen, the kala, and there's the groom. The groom is often represented, right? We talked a little bit about this. The Shechina is kind of like Shabbos, and Kut Shabrichu, which is like the masculine essence of God in Sfirot, just so you, there's a few of them, but we'll just call it Tiferet for now. So there's, if you look in your chart, and we'll go more into depth, so don't, if you're lost, we'll explain a little bit more. If you look in your chart for a moment, the Sfirot represents the way in which God brings down, God created the world through the Sfirot, God continues to interact with the world through Sefirot, and the lower you get, the lower to like earth and us we exist. So we exist like Malchus at the very bottom, which means kingship, also represents like the Shechina. Malchus represents like Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people in some sense. Malchus is kind of the lowest because it's on the lowest, but it also has the highest potential to go up toward the heaven, which is like Keter, which gets closest to Hashem. Right, just as a baseline. So Shabbos, Kala, Malchus, that's the Kala. And in many ways, Tiferes, which is two up, is a little bit more representative of the Kut Shabrichu, of the masculine aspect of God. So we want to unite Tiferes and Malchus through Yesod to create a unification. Right, just so you know, the top three, which is Keter, Chochma, Bina, are very kind of intellectual in sense, and they don't get... they don't often penetrate directly into this world. They have to be filtered through the other ones. Maya, you had a question?
I was going to ask which sphere.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. L'chad Odi likrat kala, p'nei Shabbat nekabbalah. Let us greet the Sabbath bride. Part of connecting, unifying the name of God is literally unifying Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Okay? So if you run right on your piece of paper, again, maybe write it with a dash, Yud-Kei dash Vav-Kei, right? Yud-Hei dash Vav-Hei. Yud-Hei is the first two letters in God's name, which often in Kabbalistic understanding is represented by the top three, Sfirot. Keter, Chochma, Bina. Yud and Hei. Okay? The next Vav and Hei is often represented by everything beneath it, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Vav representing six of them, right? The six, Gvura, Chesed, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. And then the final Hey represents Malchus. Okay, let me go over that one more time, because it's for those who are like, this is completely new for you, this might be a little confusing. For those of you who have taken some of my other mystical classes, it might be less confusing. The name of God represents the Sefirot. Because the name of God that we have today, Yudkei Vavkei, is the way that God reveals himself to us to understand God. But even the name Yudkei Vavkei is not God. God is beyond even, you can't even name God. That's why like often Kabbalistic terminology is Ein Sof. It's like beyond. I can't even explain God, right? So when I try to understand the name of God, Yudkei Vavkei, which is like what we say is God's name, it's these tools that God essentially created to face us, okay? So the first Yud and He, Keter Chochma Bina, and then the next Vav is the next six Sefirot, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, followed by the final He, which represents Malchus. So that final He is Malchus or Shechina.
So what about Keter?
So Keter, Chochmah, and Bina, the first three, are represented with Yud and Hey. Yud and Hey, just to be more specific, if in case you're asking, the Yud is Keter and Chochmah, and the Hey, the first Hey in Yud Kevavke, is Bina. Okay? And Bina births the next six, which are Vav, Vav representing six in Gematria, the next six Gematria, the next six Spheros, followed by Hey, which is the final Malchus. We're all on the same page. Okay. Okay, now that we have that, understand that the very first line in the Chadodi spells out the name of God using this tool. I want you to put a line after the word Kala. The Chadodi Likrat Kala, put a line, Pnei Shabbat Nekabalah. And I want you to count for me the letters in each half of the sentence I just gave you. Not math class. What do we have? 15 and 11. Beautiful. The first half of L'chadu Didi Krakalat is 15 letters. The second half is 11 letters. Why? L'chadu Didi Krakalat Pnei Shabbat Nekabalah is code for Yud Hey Vav Hey. Yud Hey, Gematria 15. The Chadodi Krakala represents Yud and Hey. Keter Chochma Bina. The second half, Pnei Shabbat Nekabalah, is the Vav and the Hey, Gematria 11, which represents the bottom Sefirot. What is the point of greeting the Sabbath bride? It is to unite the name of God, literally, Yud Hey on the one hand, and Vav Hey on the other hand. Unification. So when he wrote this piyut, he wrote it with this in mind, right? This is not an afterthought. This is exactly why he wrote it that way. Yud Hey and Vav Hey, which obviously you may have heard that Yud Hey and Vav Hey equals together the 26 gematria, which is an important number because that's Yud Hey Vav Hey is 26. It gets a little deeper because, as you'll notice, each section ends with Kala or Nekabela, right? Lamed Hey, La, which is how they both end, Lamed Hey, Lamed Hey. So Lamed Hey, in Kabbalistic terminology, La or Lamed Hey, are often seen as two pieces that have to unite. You have a Lamed Hey and a Lamed Hey. 35 and 35 equals 70. There's this understanding that there's 70 nations of the world. The 70 go down to Mitzrayim. 70 is the name of God. There's 70 names of God. There's this notion that 70 is like a very important meaning. So each side is 35 and 35, law and law, which comes together to equal 70. And 70 is supposed to represent like the names of God. Maya, you can copy off of her sheet because you'll see there's quite a bit of there's quite a bit of stuff. Lamed Hey and Lamed Hey, Kala and Kabila. Lamed Hey, you see they both end with La. La is 35. And if you notice in your Lechadodi, every single line will end in the word La. Because there's a unification that has to take place, which is unifying the names of God. And La, Lamed Hey, represents, it represents kind of half the names of God. I will also add, and this is where it's going to be important, is that Shabbos, what's that have to do with Shabbos? Shabbos is the day where we unify God's name. Because Shabbos represents the day where we recognize God, right? And it's and therefore, on Shabbos, that's the perfect moment to recognize it. And for that very reason, right? And when Hashem creates the world, and we say at the very end of the creation, right? That is the ultimate purpose of redemption is for Shabbos. Vayichulu has 35 words. And the notion, letters. You can count it out. I think it goes to like the first sentence, or maybe it's two sentences. I forget. This notion that Shabbos and unity of God comes together. Okay, to take it to another deeper level, Shabbos itself, the Kabbalists note, Shin, Shabbos. Shin is the beginning of the word of Shabbat, and it points the top three kind of legs of a shin are supposed to represent that which is above us, right? And that which is above us is always, in Kabbalistic, those top three sfirot, right? Keter, Chochma, Bina, right? Those top three. So Shabbos points, it's reaching towards the top three sfirot. And then we get back down kind of into our world. There's more to say about that, but we'll get back to that in a few minutes. So the very opening line of the Chadidi is about unifying God's name. Shabbos is a kala, is a bride. And it's about unifying the bride with the groom, which when you spell it out in that way, Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh, so that's unifying God's name. But also, it's not only God's name, but also it's unifying especially, like I mentioned before, Tiferes, which is here, which represents a more, Tiferes and Yisod are kind of both masculine in nature. Masculinity here, and the feminine, which is Malchus or Shechina, right? So Tiferes, which is kind of the masculine aspect, and Malchus, which is the feminine aspect. So it's like unification is happening on multiple levels. Yud Kei Vav Kei, and also Tiferes and Malchus. And it's united through Yesod. And in Kabbalistic terminology, Malchus is feminine, so therefore it represents kind of not only feminine in like a mystical level, but also like a bride. And Tiferes is masculine, but the unification takes place through the Yesod, which represents, Yesod in Kabbalistic terminology represents the male organ. So Tiferes and Malchus united through Yesod. Okay, so that's the opening of Lecha Dodi. Ready to jump into Shamor V'Zachor? Okay, let's do it. So as I said, Shamor V'Zachor and Likrat Shabbos are both about Shabbos, okay? So Shamor V'Zachor B'Dibor Echad. Shamor V'Zachor. What's strange about the very opening line? Probably never thought about it. Just Shamor V'Zachor. What's strange about that? Yeah?
Isn't this technically wrong? Isn't it Zachor is the one we get first in Shamor?
Yeah. Anyone was awake last week? Precious, we said Zachor do much about the Kacho. Zachor V'Shamor. Not Shamor V'Zachor. Now, you'll say, well, he needs to get his name in there, and his name wasn't, Zlomo with Shlomo. Yes and no. Shamor, and if I gave a shiur maybe a year ago about the notion of preparation, Shamor, Shmira, in Halachic and Gemara and Medrash, is all about anticipation. Right? Ve'aviv Shamar Tadavar is what we talk about with Yaakov and the dreams of Yosef, that he kept the dreams of Yosef. He anticipates that they will come true. And Shemira, this notion of being Shomer, is actually feminine in nature, which is to say it's about anticipating something for the future. It's the bride anticipating her wedding. It is a Shemira. You could almost take it almost in a physical protection as well. Shamor is feminine in nature. Zachor, on the other hand, Zachor, from its name, is Zachar, masculine, right? And there's so much more to this, right? Zechiras, Amalek, questions of whether women are really obligated, because maybe Zechira is connected to war, and if it's war, maybe it's masculine. But Shmira, Shabbos, is both for men and women, and that's one of the reasons that both men and women are obligated in all the mitzvahs asay, just like because they're mitzvahs lotase, right? There's much more to be said about that. Shamor is feminine in nature, and Zachor is masculine in nature. Zachar. When you think about Shabbos, each part of Shabbos has a different unique aspect to it, and it's reflected in the modern day sitters. This is not always the case, but it's because of Kabbalah that it is the case. You'll notice in your Amidah, probably, right? Each Amidah on Shabbos, an offer will change, whether it says La, Ba, Bo, Bam. Do you know what I'm talking about? In your Amidah. Somebody's a sitter, because now offhand I'm thinking, V'yanuchu Va Yisrael, or V'yanuchu Vo, or V'yanuchu Vam. It changes it in your Amidah for most sitters. Like, I think Art Scroll maybe, forget which ones do it and which ones don't. The reason it's like that is because nighttime is feminine. Nighttime is the Kala of Shabbos. Therefore, nighttime is Shamor. It's an anticipation for Shabbos. It's a feminine aspect of Shabbos. Neros Shabbos are at night. Neros, two candles, Keneged, Shamor, Vizachor. Well, the daytime is masculine in nature. That's why we say Vo. Va is feminine, ha, hey. Vo is masculine. And then Vam, Mem, is unification. Hey, Yurkevav. Hey. Hey is the feminine Shechina, Friday night. Vo is Vav, representing the six lower sphero, which are masculine in nature when they come together. Did I lose you on that line?
The last part?
Yeah, we say at night, a bow is because Vav represents the Yud Kei Vav, which is the six sphere which are masculine when they come together. Daytime, masculine. Yeah. Nighttime, feminine.
Wait, so why he put Shamor?
So Shamor comes first because Friday night is first.
Oh.
And according to Kabbalistic understandings here, unification comes about when the Shechina seeks out the Kutcha Bricho. Shechina represents the lower level. In Kabbalistic Zohar, it's like a tata, like the lower waters seek out the upper waters, which represent lower waters being the Shechina, the Jewish people seek out God, and then God kind of quote unquote rewards or reunites with the lower, right? When God wants to unite, so you know, this comes up a lot in like religious Zionism too. This notion of like we initiate Geula and then God follows through. Do you know what I'm saying? Like we, the Jewish people, the Shechina, represented by Shechina, which is when the Jewish people come together. And then there's like unification of the higher, which is kind of like the Yerushalayim Shel Mala versus like Yerushalayim Shel Mata. Right? So Shamor V'Zachar B'Dibor Echad, right? God said it in one, but again, Shabbos is different pieces of it. Hishmianu El HaMeyuchad. It's not Miyuchad. Miyuchad is like Yichud, unification. Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. It's about unifying the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, to become one. L'shem ulatiferet v'litila. For its tiferet, its glory, tiferet, represents the masculine part, tiferet, v'litila, right? It's about uniting the feminine with the masculine. So this is a little bit about like how we think about it. I'll add that when we think about Shabbos, right? I mentioned the two Shabbos candles. There's like Keneged Shamor V'Zachor, which I'm sure you've heard before. You know, each candle is like Shamor V'Zachor. Each candle represents Ner, right? Ner and Ner. Ner is Gematria 250, and another Ner is another Gematria 250, right? So that equals 500. The Gematrias of two Ners are 500, Ner and Ner. Which equals the gematria that's understood to be the number of limbs in a man and a woman. So a man, you may heard this on Shabbos morning when we say Yishberach v'cholim. So not every text does this, but we say like ulerama, like for the men at ularamach, reish mem chet. Men have 248 organs or limbs. Limbs is the better word to use according to Chazal, and women have 252 reish nun bet. So 252 and the 48 are going to get you to 500. So each ner represents Shamor V'Zachor. Each ner represents a man and a woman. Each ner represents Shechina and Kutcha Brichu. gives you a little bit more to think about when you light your Shabbos candles, right? It's this unification. And Shabbos candles obviously are a mitzvah associated with women. It's Friday night. It's kind of there's a feminine aspect to Friday night. I'll add also like the last name, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that notion of like God's name being one is also often associated with the Sefer Yesod, which is the connective kind of tissue between Tiferes and Malchus. Okay. Good. Oh, the Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that line is often like a reference to Yesod, which is what connects the two, Tiferes and Malchus. I will say that nighttime, daytime, and like mincha time, meaning like Shal Shudas time, are all going to be, according to Kabbalists, unification of Tiferes, Yesod, and Malchus, but in like different orders. It doesn't matter so much for our conversation, but like it's like, you know, at nighttime, it's Tiferes and Malchus like are organized in a certain way, and then daytime they shift their order just to show like what's more prevalent, right? Because it's not like there's no masculine or there, but it's like what's the prevalent kind of chemical at that moment or sphera. Okay, should we do the next one? Amazing. Likrat Shabbat. We're not going to spend as much time on each one. We'll spend a little bit more time on some of the first ones. And okay, Likrat Shabbat lechuvin elcha kihi makor baracha. Right, Shabbos is like let's go out to her. Right, that was the notion of like going out into the field because Shabbos is the beginning of bracha. Right, bracha comes from Shabbos. We go to greet Shabbos because Shabbos is the sphere of Malchus, Shechina. Meirosh mikedem nesucha sof maaseh b'machshava tchila. Right, from the beginning, like God created the world with the notion that Shabbos is going to be, right? From the beginning, God knew that redemption would come. God knew that Shabbos would be. And so there's allusions to Shabbat and allusions to redemption all within the creation of the world. I'll add also Shabbos, right? Shin represents the upper spheros, and then Bet is like Bereshit. God creates the world. Bet through Tuf, because Aleph is the Ein Sof, which is even beyond. So that's maybe a little bit about why Shabbos is Shin Bet Tuf. Bad meaning like Bereshit, tough being everything. So Shabbos is all about redemption, but it's important to know something which is going to be critical for the next few pieces we're going to talk about. Okay, what day of the week is Shabbos?
Seven.
What day of the week is Shabbos according to many Kabbalists?
The middle
of the week. You may have heard this before. Kabbalists reorder the week. Yes, Hashem created the world in 7 days. However, when we think about the days in which we live in, often they reorder it, and I'll explain in a moment. So normally, also, by the way, you may have heard this before, that each day of the week represents 1,000 years, the seventh being eventually 7,000 years will be redemption, right? So like we're, you know, it's like the first 1,000 years, the Ramban already talks about this and others, the first 1,000 years, Sunday, even in creation, like they make parallels between like the first day of creation and the first 1,000 years of the world. And the second day is the 2,000 years, and that's when the Torah is given. There's like allusions to this. And the third, there's darkness comes, whatever this, and the Geula and redemption. There's all these different things. We're currently in the, you know, we're getting close to 6,000, which is going to be the beginning of the seventh millennium, which would bring about redemption. There's like whatever. There's what to be said about that, but. In terms of how Kabbalists often understand this, Shabbos is actually the center of the week. I'm just going to stand backwards for a moment. Shabbos is over here. And then to my immediate right is Friday. And to my immediate left is Sunday. Okay? So I want you to write on your chart the following. The very top of your page, just directly above Keter, I want you to write Shabbos. To the right of Shabbos, meaning over here, you're going to write Friday, Yom Shishi. To the right of that is Thursday, and to the far right is Revi'i, Wednesday. Then over here, to your left of Shabbos, you're going to write Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Shabbos is the center of the world. Shabbos is represented by the center column of Keter, Tiferes, Yesod, Malchus. Okay? And then the other three are connected to each of the two sides of the spherochart. Okay? We'll get back to that in a moment. Okay, so that's number two is Likra Shabbos Luchu Benelcha, this notion of Shabbos, and this kind of gets us ready to start talking about Yerushalayim and Geula, because if the end is supposed to be Yerushalayim and Geula, so Shabbos is a representation of that. Okay? Three, Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha. This Yerushalayim. We're talking about Yerushalayim, but we're not only talking about that, because we're talking about God, the unification of spirituality on a day is Shabbos, but in a place is Yerushalayim. Right? So we're talking about the unification of God and spirituality in time and in space. Okay? Ir Melucha, Kumitzi Mitochave. Arise from your ruined state, because Yerushalayim is destroyed. Right, we want to bring about redemption. Rav Lachsheva be'eme kabacha. Don't just, you know, it's too long we've been sitting in the Valley of Tears. V'hu yachamol aleichem le. May he bring compassion. Who, just so you know, is another Kabbalistic word that comes up sometimes. Who, meaning him. But who's him in Kabbalah, just so you know? Who, hey, the first hey is Malchus, right? The lowest sphera, Malchus, hey. How are we going to bring about redemption? You got to line up some spheros to get there. Hey, is the lowest Malchus? Followed by Vav, representing the next six spheros, or specifically Tiferes. Like Tiferes is almost like the Abba of this group. Followed by the Aleph, which is Keter, or the highest ones. So if you line up Malchus, Tiferes, and Keter, Vahu Yachamol, if we can bring about this unification through Shabbos, that's going to bring Geula. Right? If only the Jewish people were to keep one or two Shabboses, depending on how you look at it, Geula would be brought about. Because Geula and Shabbos are intertwined, they're interlocked. Right, Ein Olam Haba. It's the seventh millennium, which brings about redemption. That's what we're hoping for. The next paragraph, Hitna'ari me'afar kumi. Right, it's like get off this dust. These dusts are almost like the klipos, these negative things that have attached themselves to us. And arise, kumi, leave she big day, wear your big day tiferes, which is also a reference to the big day kahuna, which are also called big day tiferes in the Torah. But wear your tiferes, because the big day tiferes is a reference to the sphere of tiferes. We want us to be clothed in tiferet, and that will bring about redemption. Who's going to do it? Ben Yishai. Who's Ben Yishai? Mashiach, right, because David Ben Yishai. Mashiach will bring it about. Mashiach is also, by the way, associated with the lowest sphere, Malchus Shechina. David HaMelech. David Malchus Shechina. From Beis HaLachmi, from Beis Lechem, Korval Nafshi Ga'ala, who will bring about redemption. So if you can kind of cloak this figure that comes from Malchus with Tiferes, you will bring about redemption. Hit Oruri. Now we're in the fifth paragraph. Some of these psukim come from Yeshaya and Shoftim, like these are like picking up on earlier. This is from different places. Hit oruri, awake, awake, kiva orach kumi ori. So there's a nice alliteration here, as we mentioned earlier. Awake, awake for your light, kiva orach kumi ori, for your light has come, rise and shine. That's how the Koran translates it. Uri means to awaken. Uri at the very end means my light. What is the root of Uri with an ayin? Like, what's the root word? Just guess, I guess, right? Took Hebrew, probably.
But isn't there some connection with the skin?
Or, right? Or, so in the Kabbalists like to point out that hit Uri. Or ayin vavresh means skin, human skin, right? Or what? Or what are skins? Or with an aleph is light. Mekubalim love to look at the beginning creation story, right? Because Hashem essentially like clothes Adam and Chava. And if you look in the Sefer Bereishis, there's this notion that the Midrash points out that originally Adam and Chava were completely or, they were completely light, or the or hakadmon, like this early light, and then when they sinned, God gave them physical or with an ayin. He changed the aleph to an ayin. And so what the Kabbalists point out here is hit ori is what he's pointing out to is awake, awake, because we want it to return to or with an aleph, right? We want to go from this physicality to spirituality.
Okay.
Okay, and we're about to get a little deeper. Or with an aleph means light, which is also associated with tiferet, glory. God's glory is light, right? Tiferet is light. So you could say tiferet is or. If you recall, does anyone remember Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? Where do they fit in this chart? Anyone remember? And you're going to want to put this down. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, who was Avram Yitzchak Yaakov in the Siros? Remember? Yeah. Chesed is Avram Avinu, because he's all about chesed, giving. Yitzchak is all about gvura, like struggle, and right? And Yaakov Avinu, or Yisrael, is tiferet, glory, light. When we think about, we've been given essentially or skin, like we're physical, and there's this really interesting idea that we do a particular, men do a particular mitzvah with their skin, which is that they place tefillin on their skin during the week, right? Tefillin is considered an ot, a sign from Hashem. So the Gemara tells us that a person, or I guess a man, cannot be present without two otot. One is tefillin and one is bris milah. So during the week, a man has tefillin and bris milah with him. But on Shabbos, we don't wear tefillin. What's the os? It's Shabbos itself. So that Shabbos, which represents light, or during the week, is replaced with tefillin, with an ayin, and also tefillin is made of oros, of skins. And so there's this connection between tefillin during the week and Shabbos being or. And there's a really nice not acrostic, but like when you have like A means apple. Like what's the word I'm looking for? Not an acrostic, but I'll tell you what it is, and then you'll remind me what it is. Shabbos. The word Shabbos.
Acronym.
Acronym. Thank you. I'm like getting it's late at night. The word Shabbos. There's an Achron Kabbalist, Rav Yisrael Al-Makawa, who suggests that Shabbos. Acronym for Shabbat Bimkom Tfilin. Shabbat Bimkom Tfilin. Shin Bet Taf. And then when you read it backwards, it's Tfilin Bimakom Shabbos. Okay? It's kind of a cool. It's nice. I like it. So Shabbos and Tfilin are kind of interchangeable. And Tiferes, right? This notion of Tfilin Shel Rosh. The nations will see your Tfilin and they'll be scared of you. And that's why there's this really big push, especially Chabad does this, like, but it's like to wear Tfilin in war is like a high level, right? Which is why we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Bris Milah, because Bris Milah is an os and Shabbos is an os, right? There's like interesting things about that. Okay. Beautiful. Let's continue. We just did his Ori. Important note, the middle of L'cha Dodi, if you count all the letters of L'cha Dodi and words, essentially from the beginning to the end, the middle word is Orech. Aleph, Vav, Resh, Kaf. In the Hidori Tekiva, Orech, right? But if you also want to know a sentence, right, it says, Hitori, Hitori, Kiva, Orech, Kumi, Ori. If you bracket off Kiva, Orech, Kumi, Ori, that sentence, Kiva, Orech, Kumi, Ori, there are 65 words before it and 65 words after the sentence, Kiva, Orech, Kumi, Ori. So that sentence is smack in the middle. And it's connected. It's just by counting, it means that Kiva Orech Kumi Ori is like, think of like a chiastic structure, is like the center. What is the whole point of this? It's Kiva Orech Kumi Ori is essentially your light has come awaken, like redemption is here. And so that's like the centerpiece in some ways of L'cha Dodi. An or, meaning or, redemption, Hashem, Shechina, is like a very important word in it as well. Okay. The next six, we're not going to say so much about, but Lo Tevoshi, get up, don't be so downtrodden. You know, we want you to get up and bring about redemption. Number seven, V'hayu l'mashisa shosayich, those who despoiled you, meaning the enemies of our people, shall be despoiled. We're going to get back to that in the next paragraph. The enemies of our people shall become destroyed. Yasis alayich elohayich kimsus chasan akal. May the redemption come about through the rejoicing of the chasan and the kala. Turn your page. At our last two paragraphs here. Yamin uf smol tifrotzi. What is this talking about? Yamin uf smol tifrotzi? What's this about? The right and left shall scatter? Maybe Shrein is supposed to scatter?
Or maybe it's like this right and left, and then we'll only have like the unification?
Aha. This is very important. Yamin uf smol is a reference to the spheros. It's a reference to geography. And let me explain. Tifrotzi means not only to like go out, it means to expand. This is where things get really interesting. The whole point of what we're doing is we want to bring Geula. We want to bring Shabbos is about Geula. But it's not that we just want Shabbos. We want the whole world.
So
Kibbutz Galiot might be part of it, for sure. But we want redemption is not just about like us. It's about the whole world. Shabbos is not just, we don't just want one day of the week to be Shabbos. What do we really want? We want it all to be Shabbos. So how do you do that? The center must expand through unification.
Oh, the right and left of, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Absolutely. Yamin usmo. Your right side of your chart is yamin. The left is small. Yamin usmo tifrotzi. Made expand. Now, I promised you some interesting geopolitics, and here we go. Yamin is the right side. Who's chesed? Avraham Avinu. In Kabbalah, who is, this is pshat, actually. Who is Avram's son? Not the one you know. Who's the other one? Yishmael. Beautiful. Who emerges from Yishmael? Islam. Okay, now go to the other side of the chart. Gevura. Represents Yitzchak. Who's Yitzchak's?
Esav
and Edom. Christianity. What day of the week is represented on the right side of the chart? First, the closest to Shabbos. The one that we want, Tifrotzi, the one we want to bring about more spirituality. Friday. Whose day is Friday? It's the Muslim holy day. Whose day is Sunday on the left side of the chart? The Christian holy day. Yamin u'smol tifrotzi, and this is not just me like making this up, like the Mekubalim talk about the notion, and this is based upon the Rambam. So it's the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah gets excised by many people, but the Rambam says explicitly in the very end of his Mishnah Torah that there's like a certain amount of truth to Christianity and Islam to bring about the notion of God in this world. Now, they make errors along the way, no doubt, but it's about expanding the name of God in this world. So how do we bring about more Kedusha time-wise? Well, the Muslims and the Christians have already started that project for us. Shabbos is expanding by Friday and Sunday becoming holy days, at least for them. There's an expansion of a certain sense of Kedusha in the world. Now, it's I'm not saying it's like, they're doing it right, but there's already a sense that there's movement. Geographically speaking, think about Yerushalayim as the center of the world. Who is to the right of Yerushalayim? Who is to the east? Who is to the Yamin? The Arab world, Islam. And who is to the left of Israel? The Christian world. And the centerpiece is Israel. There is an idea that they have started some sort of project that will have to be completed when actual Kedusha emerges, which is that Yerushalayim, Midrashim talk about the Yerushalayim, we have like the wall cities of Yerushalayim, but there's a messianic fervor that Yerushalayim will continue to expand. And, you know, today we already see what that looks like, right? It starts from this little tiny city and it expands along the hills, right? Which means the Kedusha expands because maybe laws about Trumas and Maestros and Kahuna and all these different things expand along with it. Also, the same thing with the land of Israel itself. There's an idea, not getting involved with any modern politics per se, but I'm alluding to it, that there is this idea, at least within a messianic vision, of an expansion, right, of the holiness of the land of Israel, right? Because Kibush Haaretz adds some sort of Kedusha to the land, to the lands it's conquered. So Yamin Usmol Tifrotzi is that. That's what it represents. And there's this idea, according, there's different ways, what's the end of the days, are they going to be? Are there non-Jews in the world? Are they going to convert to Judaism? I don't know. There's different ways to understand what the end of days will actually bring about. But clearly there's a project that has already been started. And that's represented by that, by these individuals, by these religions. And by the way, like, remember I talked about the 35 and 35 being lechadut, like la and la, 35 and 35? Jewish people are represented by 70, right? We are, the nations of the world are 70, but we get 70 goes out the Mitzrayim, like we're the unified notion of it. But there's this notion that each, both Esav and Yishmael get 35 like princes or kings. And so they each get 35, but it's unified essentially under us at the end of days. So that's a mouthful. We'll end with Boi B'Shalom. And I'm happy to end with questions. Boi B'Shalom. Come in peace. Shalom is represented by Yesod. Boi B'Shalom Ateret Ba'ala, which makes sense because if Atara means crown, but also has some sort of masculine organ references here. Ba'ala Gam B'Simcha Berina U'Vetzohola Toch Emunei Am Segula. Our people will unite and we will bring about Boi Kala, and some have Boi Kala Shabbat Malkata is like an addition. You know, the Sabbath queen will come. And that is this notion of complete unification at the end of days, which brings about the unification of God, both in a spiritual sense, a physical sense in terms of geography, a religious sense, geopolitical sense. And that's what it's all about. I did want to just mention, in case you're interested, the days of the week also are related to each of these. So like, you know, we talked about Friday and you know, Friday being over here and Sunday being over here. But each sphere also has a specific date associated with it. It doesn't line up exactly with the way that we just did it. But just so you know, Chesed is often referred to as Sunday. Gevurah is often referred to as Monday. Tuesday is Tiferes. Netzach is Wednesday, Hod is Friday, and Yesod is Shishi is Friday. And the last source I just put here, because Vishamu Vnei Yisrael is the Shabbos, right, this notion of unification, you've probably heard this before, but there's this notion of unification not only on Shabbos, but it's also like manifest in the halachos between a husband and a wife. And then Shmos, they point out, Vishamu Vnei Yisrael is the Shabbos. How is the Shmir Shabbos? Is Vishamu Vnei Yisrael the Shabbos, Vishamu Bet Yud Aleph Hey, Vishamru through its Bia, which is unification, which is obviously is physical unification, but it also represents the spiritual unification between man and woman, Kala, Chasan, Kuchabrichu, and Shechina.